welcome into the podcast, the show of shows. That's Keith over there. See, he's right there. If you can't, if you're listening, you can't see him. But if you can see him, you may not want to listen, but whatever.
I'm here.
How's it going, pal?
It's good.
You ready for today?
Almost.
You sure?
Yeah, I just got to get my secret... My secret bottle of secrets here.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get to it in a few minutes, yeah.
Can't wait to hear about that,
I got
pal.
It right here.
Okay.
There's a message on the other side. You ready?
Yeah. Oh.
One more. All right. One more time.
Yeah. Ooh, leaked information. You saw it right here on the podcast.
All right.
This is leaked information, firsthand information that Keith has that apparently we're going to talk about a little later with somebody that we're bringing on air.
Yeah. So what are we doing today, Jay?
Okay. Well, you know, you've heard us talking about our good friend Rothmeyer, whom was on our episode 25 podcast live from the Union Tavern in downtown Anacortes.
So, you know, to some people, he's kind of like Snuffleupagus. You know that only certain people in the Sesame Street universe could actually see I don't know if they changed that, but when I was a kid, like, not everyone could see him. Right?
Yeah.
Right? It was your imaginary friend, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Okay.
Remember
yeah, but did you know that? Did you know,
Yes. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I do. But he's not, Rothmeyer's not an imaginary friend.
Well up he until could, now.
He, well, yeah. Up until now, he's been imaginary. Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just, I'm excited because I get to go down to the on location in the establishment where you first met him.
Yeah.
And where I first met him. And he's allowed us to come in the doors today before the shift and speak to him about a nice little piece of information that he's got on our website. It's an introduction to getting Rothmeyer'd. And as we grow with him on the channel here, you'll understand that even more. So, what do you say?
So we're pretty excited to have him as a kind of regular recurring personality, I guess, if you want to use that word. So you've known him a lot more, longer, more. You have more interactions with him than I do, but. This is a guy that, I was trying to think about, you know, how do you describe Rothmeyer to anybody that has not been Rothmeyer'd? he's a movie character bartender in the sense of this is a guy that's modest. He's the guy that has probably heard and seen more behind that bar than most of us. He's good at it, but he has this whole other world of, like, you know, things that he's into that involve a lot of outdoorsy stuff, which is I'm a big fan of also. I think that's part of the reason why we kind of connected. And right. He's just a really good dude. He's like, if you could pick somebody going into a bar that you sort of wanted to have a conversation with, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely the guy.
For sure. It makes you very comfortable when you're talking to him. I'm sure he's heard a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh.
I think you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know, in those positions.
Yeah.
I can't imagine trying to make heads or tails out of conversations at, say, 11 p.m. or midnight,
yeah.
When the spirits are flowing, but he has a great personality for people.
Yeah,
I think that's really probably for me is one of the most outstanding characters that he has is the fact that he's just a good dude, and I think our audience will find the same and will enjoy listening to him, and hopefully we'll get him on many segments to talk more. But I mean, you could seriously have a podcast for hours talking about the stuff that he likes to do. So let's pick his brain. Let's see what he's got to say. And I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. So in order for this to happen, I have to tear down here, pack my gear up, and go down and do this live thing. So we're going to pause for this segment here. And I guess I'll see you guys at the bar.
Right. So if you're watching this or you're listening, it's just going to be like right now. Ready? Doodle-doodle, 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 doodle-doodle.
Hey, 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 hey. Welcome back into the part of the podcast we've all been looking forward to today, guys.
It's your backstage at the One Direction concert.
Look who I have. Yeah, One Direction. That's it. It's our good friend Rothmeyer. We've been talking about this guy for a long time, man. We finally got him in on the podcast again.
Oh, wow. I just kind of punched that. Yeah. So we've been trying to do this for a while. And the stars have finally aligned, I guess, right?
Yeah. Look, see, here they are right here on the hat.
Oh, yeah. Right. Nice. Yeah.
You owe me one, buddy.
Isn't that just more swag that you get all the time?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. See, he fits right in. He already knows the...
He knows the deal. He knows the deal, man. So here we are.
Tell us what, where you guys are, what the reasoning is behind this, and there's also something we need to talk about, which is slightly under the camera angle, which is in those glasses sitting on the table. So go ahead.
So I'll do this and bring us into this. We're at the Union Tavern. Which, as you guys know, any fans, any subscriber already knows that this is my favorite place to go because of people like Mr. Rothmeyer here. And we hang out and talk beers and spirits and sports and camping. And Rothmeyer here has always answered a lot of my questions in regards to camping because I'm not as good at that stuff as he is, man. He's been doing it for a while, so...
It's an addiction, I think.
So yeah. We are thrilled for a lot of reasons because I've spent a couple days around him, but the more we've sort of interacted and the more Jay and I have talked about this and the more this whole love of the outdoors things keeps coming up, we just know like this is something we've wanted to take part in, right? So So Rothmeyer's got a... he's got an article on our site. If you haven't seen it, go to partscounterguru.com. It's on the front page. And we're going to talk a little bit about something that ties into that today. But he is a... he's kind of doing what I wish I could be doing if I didn't have a wife and a 9-year-old that required a little bit more glamping.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, he's earned his stripes, man. So he gets out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to do that, too. I mean... When my kids were younger, I took it way more easy than I do now.
Sure. Yeah, well, there's a compromise, right? I mean, if you got it, if you want to get out bad enough, you'll make those compromises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, not only, you know, is this a place where we hang out, Rothmeyer bartends here as well, and he's brought something to the table here. Do we want to bring that up real quick?
Yeah, or? I don't know. Did you got what I sent you in the mail, right?
That's coming in a minute.
Okay, so what do you want to hold off on that?
No, that's fine. Go ahead and talk about what you guys need, got.
Well,
friend.
it's camping juice.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Now, are you guys are you drinking that on the rocks or not?
Well, we're drinking it kind of like I would camping, except it's a little more civilized. We're not drinking it out of a plastic jug. I meant to bring a couple props like that. I have it's an old saline bottle from probably mid-70s that my dad worked in a hospital, and he started collecting them and using them just for taking out. We put lemonade in them when we were kids, and he put brown water in it, is what he called it. It's Canadian whiskey. Ooh. And it's just
the
perfect size.
I'm already learning stuff, man. All right.
But anyway.
So it's quite okay to bring a plastic jug with you then, huh? That's well, just a, it's just what you do.
Yeah, sure. It fits my fanny pack.
Yeah. So, okay. So I got a story here. So I guess it was last week or it's recent. It's been like a week. I got a package in the mail from Rothmeyer, and it was a busy day, and I texted him. It was probably like, 3 or 4 o'clock his time, and I opened this package up, and inside of it is this, like, I'm like, what is this? And the box is, it's a bear tooth. Let me see if I can get it. And okay. Here's the thing. Like, I look at this box, and first of all, I don't know a lot about these, but I know what they are. And I know you can't get them right now. Like, they're you can't get them. I think next year is when you can have access to buy one. So wow. It's essentially for people that are off the grid that need to communicate. In other words, if your cell phone doesn't work, and I don't know that much about them, but I know this is I'm looking at this box and I'm like, holy, first of all, how did he get this? And second, wow, this is my wife wouldn't even send me something this nice kind of thing, right? And so I texted him and I was like, thanks, man, right? Or something like that. And I was like, this is really nice. And he's like, hey, no problem. And then I said something else I'm so excited to try this out. The conversation just started getting weirder and weirder. Do you remember what I said?
I don't remember exactly, but I got the clue that you thought it was a bear tooth, and oh man, I didn't mean to, didn't mean to let you down.
And at some point he goes, wait a minute. He goes, there's just camping juice inside, right? And I mean, Jay, if you knew the electrical tape job that he did on this box was it was perfect. It looked factory sealed.
Masterful.
And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, oh, so that was just a great, that was honestly the most memorable moment of the week for me. But I got inside, and this is the same camping juice that I think you guys are drinking.
Very close anyway.
And I brought two glasses up here with me. I brought one with rocks, which is now turned into water, and I'm not going to use it. And then I got this one. So I'm going to join in with you. Yeah. It's taken all of my sort of self-restraint to not hit this before today.
Well, while you're fixing, you're going through your mind of, this is how I want to have this. Oh, you're already there. Okay.
Cheers. Well, yeah. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
So go ahead. Yeah. You were about to say.
Well, we talked about what was on the website, the piece that Rothmeyer had written. He sent it to me, and I just was blown away. It encompasses everything he likes to do and wants to talk about. So I highly encourage any of our fans to go to our website and read that. And you're going to pick up on a few things that I personally didn't know about him until reading. And so that's brought up some good conversation since then, as I'm sure that it will bring up questions, hopefully, on our website. Which, by the way, if you read that and you do have a question for Rothmeyer, there is a place that you can go email him or contact him. And where is that, Keith?
You're talking about the Ask Us a Question tab on our website.
That is correct. And you just address Rothmeyer and he will get that.
Yeah, we'll make sure he gets it. That's right.
Any camping questions or even
bartending questions.
And this might turn into...
How do I mix one of these? Well, that's what I want to know.
I was about to go there. This might turn into a... who knows where this could go? But what I will do is... So we have a mentioned on the podcast page. I'm going to put this recipe...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot I sent you the recipe. Good.
Right?
Oh, awesome.
I'm not doing it long enough where you can pick it up on the camera. Okay?
Wow.
So,
So
I'm going to put this on the mentioned on the podcast section for this what episode number are we?
This is episode 35.
Okay,
remember that.
So it'll be under 35, and there may be some other stuff that he can I noticed you guys are using a lemon. If you happen to be camping in a lemon grove, I guess and you've got access
right.
to lemons.
Like I say, we're in a civilized situation here. Yeah. So we got a garnish,
and I could see where that would be favorable. I'm hitting it without, and I gotta tell you, like, I'm I'm loving it. So
are you loving it? It's not necessarily for everybody because it's a bitter drink, and yours has a dip. Well, we're using Campari here, and Moleti is what you have, the Moleti version of that.
And I would say, you know, you guys, so this travels well because he shipped this across the country to me. So yeah, so rested. I like it. Now, look, if you're a pina colada person and that's all you drink or daiquiris, this is probably not for you. But those probably aren't people that are out camping, I would guess. They're staying at the Marriott. Kind of.
For what it's worth, I was serving pina coladas out on my birthday camp.
Well, which, and you know, if you're serving them all, camp.
Yeah. I was invited, and unfortunately, I missed out because we had purchased tickets to the local Brewers Fest here, and we had family coming over. I completely spaced out on it, but I'm sad I missed it. But Rothmeyer has agreed to take me out and teach me some things out there, and. As a matter of fact, it was funny. I got a text from your device that lets me know where you're at.
That's right.
And he was out in the middle of nowhere, really looking for deer, and just kind of camping out. And that sleeping bag worked out well for you, it sounds like.
Oh man, it was so comfortable.
Now you guys will do great. Like I will do. Kind of 40 degrees is kind of my limit. Like at night, if it gets down below 40 at night and I'm not inside a shelter somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of precious. I'm kind of like, eh, you know.
Well, you know, I said the same thing, but I want to learn how to do the winter camp. I don't know that I would mind.
I just hate having to get up to pee in the, you know.
Yeah.
That is a challenge. Indeed. Yeah. But, you know, like Jay's kind of alluding to is just gear makes all the difference. I mean, if you haven't slept in a really plush 0-degree bag in 20 degrees, then, I mean, it'd be hard to put that level at 40. Maybe 40 is the level of, you know, that your gear is sort of rated to.
It could be, yeah.
And yeah. And what would one, you know, if I were to go out and buy one, what could I expect to pay for something like that right now?
Well, there are some value brands. I used to be a salesperson. I say value brands. Maybe they're cheap, whatever. But Teton is one that I use a lot. And
don't they make cider?
Oh, no, that's Titan.
Oh, okay. All
that's
right.
A talent.
All right. Wouldn't that be cool, though? I make sleeping bags and cider.
And cider, sure.
Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand. That's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But you can get into one of those zero bags with, and it's like fleece lined. They're bulky. It's not great for backpacking, but you can do it. And they're rectangular. And like I said, yeah, fleece lined on the inside, rated to zero. So, right, you know, you hit that 20 degree mark, and I'm telling you, it's just fine. You know, I always tack about 15 degrees onto what they're rated, though. They're rated zero.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to be comfortable, or I'm going to have to do some work if it gets down to that. Then I might be sleeping with a couple of those chemical hand warmers.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea.
Feet,
yeah.
And keep one right up near your chest there, and you can make it through that pretty comfortably.
So I do know this, Jay. You buy your winter camping gear in the spring, and you buy your summer camping gear in the fall.
100%.
No, I just ask. You know why? If people ask me what I want for Christmas, that's what I tell them.
Oh, well, then, because that's when they run the, it's out of season, so that's when they run the, like, deals.
That's right.
Like, they're
I'm looking for freebies I can get, man.
Honestly, the technology in a sleeping bag year over year is not that drastic of a change, so last year's model is just fine with me, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, that's just like the underwear.
Oh wow! We went there on the show. Okay.
Well, how advanced it's come. I mean, because I get out and I walk every day, and I wear some of those 32 degree, just to cover my legs, and I, you know, shorts.
What do the neighbors say?
They're like, is this what is this dude up to?
Yeah.
Man? Holy cow! Can you believe that? Look at this, Martha. You know, one of those things.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going on. So here we are. We're talking about gear.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's appropriate that, you know, we were talking, you know, what do we want to talk about on this podcast?
And, so I think, yeah. So first of all, it was really hard to just go, let's just try to keep this short, because we could sit here, the three of us, and go on until
all day,
you know,
all day.
Mike gets fired.
I do the rabbit trails really well.
And yeah. And so I think this is why we just want to do this as a regular thing, because there's so much that we just are excited to get into here. But Jay, you guys worked out something on your end. What did you work out?
Yeah, well, we discussed what we thought would be a good fit for the first segment that we're doing with Rothmeyer. And, you know, like you and I were conversing back and forth, that article that he wrote, and again, I encourage anybody to read it, because you're going to pick through probably 100 things that he says in there that you want to know about. But, you know, we thought we'd start this off with the essentials for camping and give a list of those essentials. And Rothmeyer has worked on 10 essentials. I think that's what you said would be appropriate. Because I said 5 initially. He goes, we need to go about 10, my friend. So,
all right.
So I said, hey, the floor is yours. So, Keith, you want to?
We could do 40 essentials.
We could do, yeah, there we go. So,
yes, I have one important question, and I meant to ask this before, and I forgot, and now I'm down here looking at the recipe again. I'm going to give away one of the ingredients in camping juice, but I just want, let me ask it this way. Bourbon is one of the ingredients. What bourbon are you guys using in the one that you're drinking?
Today we're using a Knob Creek.
Okay.
Oof,
so
yeah,
right, so that gives you a little bit of insight into, because you can wildly change the flavor or taste of this just by that what bourbon you go with, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm anxious to see if that's actually one of the essentials.
It's an interchangeable kind of drink too. I mean, I don't think I'm ruining it by saying it's based on a drink called a Boulevardier, which is just like a Negroni. Negroni's gin, but then a Boulevardier is bourbon. So same ratio, but you can switch up a bunch of things. And this kind of came about 15 years ago when I was camping with Tim Moffitt. We were doing some backpacking, and we used to just bring straight bourbon, but we're both bartenders, and so we started mixing. And this is just the one that kind of came up. And actually, Tim does put orange peels in his, and I think it just brings out a little too much acidity once it's been sitting in the booze, you know. It brings it out quite a bit too much too.
So are you guys know. You guys have lemon or orange peel in the one you're drinking now?
Orange. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you can't see.
But now, but you didn't put it in the drink until you made it.
Correct.
And that's what you're talking about, is if you leave it sit in there, it's gonna change. Yeah.
Real.
Yeah, it gives it. I felt like the first time I had, you mixed one of these for me months ago.
Did
the
I?
First time we were just sitting around, and they were he and Joe were having one, and I'm like,
oh, there you go.
Can I try one?
It's an evening campfire for sure.
Right.
I could do it in the summer. I could do it now. I could do it when it's really cold out.
This is perfect, man. I mean, I'm enjoying the heck out of this right
I'm
now.
Not,
now
if
I understand.
I'm not going to stop talking about this unless we get, because it's okay. So
real quick, he had mentioned Tim. I texted you a picture of a dish that was being served at a local establishment here the other day. Do you recall that?
Why? Sure.
Why? Yes, I do. That's who he's speaking of.
He
is the proprietor of the establishment.
Yeah,
he owns
A-Town Bistro.
A-Town Bistro.
Oh, that picture. Okay.
And I said to you next time you're in, I want us to have reservations and go in and have a really decent meal. It's that's a great establishment. I love going in there, and it's they have a unique ability of pairing. It's quite interesting, and they have a great staff back there.
All right. I got it.
So
yep. Now,
next time, put that
sense.
On your
okay.
Put that on your clipboard of fun the next time you come in. So,
all right.
Okay.
Done. All right.
So,
list.
Okay.
Back to this list.
All right. Back to the list.
Yeah. So I got this list. Actually, there's, you know, if you go online, you can find lots of different ones. You know, whether it's at REI or plenty of people put together their top 10, and it's a debatable thing about what the 10 essentials are, I should say. But mine, I have a rather inexpensive backpack, actually, and on the upper flap of it, it has it printed, had the 10 essentials. And so I'll just go down the list here real
check
quick.
Check that out. Okay.
I thought that was kind of funny, too.
That's almost like a quarterback having the plays on
the playbooks there.
Right,
there you go,
man. You have to start at the bottom. We're going to do this David Letterman style, so you got to start with the least most important.
Oh, no, and I don't think it's in that order.
Well, then you have to do it on the fly, man.
I have to
man.
Put it in that way? Okay. Least important?
No pressure.
No, this is easy. I got it. Whistle.
Okay.
So after I go through these, I want to go through and augment, because a lot of them branch out.
No, do it now. Let's talk about if there's...
In my notes, I actually, under whistle, I just have gun.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like, a lot of times people are using whistles to scare off predators, which is really not a huge issue. Or my wife was arguing with me about this last night, and this is what happens with lists like this. You're going to get pushback from everybody.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Bring the emails on. I'm going to
I like controversy.
Sure.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Okay. All right. So, man, we're about to open a whole can of controversy that nobody in the world
was
prepared
for. There's no way.
So in most of, I do a lot of national park. I've gotten my family to the point where they love that, which is great because that's a little bit unhooked. You know, you're not plugged into electricity a lot of times and you're out away from stuff.
That's right.
And the national parks will typically allow, if you have a carry permit, you can carry into a national park. And the thing that I've always been worried about is if you're in a bad enough situation where, let's say, like, you see a bear and he's dangerously close, okay, and you discharge a firearm in a national park, you got some, as Ricky would say, you got some splaining to do, right?
Indeed.
I mean, that's...
Right, I would not envy being in that situation either. When I'm in the park, I most often carry bear spray instead. So I would put that in under the whistle category as well.
So, you better be darn sure, like, your life was in danger if you're going to do something like that. Because you're going to have to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't go in there and, you know, be thinking, you know, oh, well, we're in the Wild West.
Not in the parks, that's for sure. And I'd like everybody to be comfortable out there, too. So a lot of times if I'm going out to a place in that kind of situation, I'm not bringing a firearm. I don't want to disturb anybody.
Yeah.
And especially when you're dealing with legal, you know, problems.
You better be pretty far away from...
Is that something, and, you know, forgive my ignorance here on that, but when you go to a national park like that, is it very similar to, say, like an airport where you have to check your firearm?
No.
You just have to have the permit with
if you're,
you.
So the way the
ID,
park, and there's it. A statement on their website. The way they view it is that they respect the whatever state you reside in and whatever legal permission has been granted to you by that state is typically honored by the national parks, with the exception of their buildings. Meaning, like, if you go into a visitor center, don't do it. Don't try to. You're on federal property. That's just like an airport. Don't
right. I mean, it's just like a bar. You wouldn't want to carry it into a bar either. So
you got to think about it, because this covers not just national parks, but BLM land and all that sort of stuff. And there's people that legally have reasons to use them in that. But the other side of that coin is, man, you get a lot of people out there that think that they're, you know, Buffalo Bill, and they're, you know, they're just not. Yeah. Don't. Just don't.
Right. And so that does go into that category too. I go out alone a lot, and to be honest, I'm probably more worried about people than anything.
Yeah.
And with your bear sort of situation that you were given too, I mean, I have been really close to black bear. I've been farther away from grizzlies, but real close to black bear, and I'm telling you that they just run away every time. Like, they're not even curious, not even anything.
Yeah,
so,
that's the way you want it.
That's interesting. You know, when if a person does get attacked by a bear, what are they doing wrong, you think? I mean, are they just not...
There's so many different things. They could have a pet with them. Like,
a dog
will do it. Yeah, of course, food. If you're leaving your uneaten steak in your tent, that's probably a bad idea.
Wait, so you can't leave food in a tent, but that tent's zipped up, man. I mean, there's no way they can get in there.
There's no way they can penetrate that. I violate that a bit myself, but keeping anything that smells out of your tent is a good idea. Again, and I'm talking about for your own sort of well-being and you know, your feeling of comfort is what I'm going for. I violate it all the time, and I think we have bear out here that are pretty, like, trained in the right way that we're not a reward. The tent's not a reward. A person is not a reward. And so, yeah, I think I might have mentioned that in the article. I'm not sure, but
you did. I always cracked up on the portion of the article where you wrote about the mouse in the cooler.
Yeah, the mouse.
Folks, you got to read it. We're not going to talk about it, but the mouse in the cooler.
It
you have to go find
some,
that.
Yeah, it triggered some. So, and it's worth mentioning too that where Rothmeyer is camping, I'm doing the finger quotes, is a little bit different than where if you're just getting into this, even if you go to a national park, and you're going to have some space in between you and your neighbors in a national park more so than you would at like a public campground or that sort of thing. But but he's still going into more of a backcountry is typically the word I think that, that people use. So please don't try to start there.
Yeah, you're right. It's so actually technically it's called dispersed camping.
Okay.
You can look that up on, even like on the on our Cascade guide. It lists some rules about that, and it, you're right. It's not necessarily a place to start if it's your first time. And I always say it's nice to have a mentor if you
yeah.
got one.
There
but,
you go.
You know, and I guess what I'm that's kind of what I'm doing by even entering into this whole thing is kind of trying to mentor that kind of thing. So while you know I could tell somebody like Keith, I could tell you a place here that you could drive right up to dispersed camping and you won't have any neighbors and you're pretty close to the road, but you're just at a car and you're
Yeah, I could run back to the car and drive away if I got in trouble.
And so I don't think it's too daunting for dispersed camping. But then if you get off trail like a lot of what I do and I don't like my secret spots and whatever,
yeah.
which I share with my friends all the time. That's another thing I love about this is I just love sharing these places.
His phone gets hacked and those GPS coordinates show up on the internet. Yeah.
I am going to be the recipient of some of those spots.
Wow.
I hope. Soon.
That's cool.
So
that's
really
a pretty big deal nowadays. I mean, it's not like it was even two generations ago. There's so much development.
Your ex, very right.
So, okay, so what are we at? Number 9?
Yeah. This is like let's see, what's the Ken Burns thing, man. We could bring Ken Burns in on this, man.
That was the easy one for me. I guess next they all are so essential. I can't even come up with a number 8.
Just grab one.
Yeah, just pick. When all else fails,
just pick one. No, I got it. Fire.
Okay.
So
there you go.
You know, and now Keith, you're making me think about this like a through hiker, and that's actually a cool thing. So that's the way I'm going to think about it now. What would a through hiker get rid of here? So that's going to be it. Fire. Whether it's I usually carry a lighter, and I wanted to bring my lighter here too because it's got my name on it, and it's a pipe lighter. So like when you go to light a pipe, it has a thing so the flame comes out this way instead of like right.
Well,
over
why would
thumb.
I need one of those when I'm camping?
Just to light your fire or your stove. Or,
wait, but I can always just sort of reach underneath the wood and use a Bic lighter, right?
You could.
No, I'm
definitely.
Kidding. Yeah,
no,
I see the value. Yeah.
Or rub sticks together.
Yeah,
oh,
right. So,
try that.
Do you make any effort to put it in some sort of like water resistant enclosure, or is it pretty good about?
That's a good point. I mean, I do that with my matches. My matches are more insurance.
Yeah.
There.
Okay.
So the lighter's more just casual and easy. And weighty, it's like that's something a thru hiker would absolutely not carry. My lighter is way too heavy.
So I might be stepping on another one of these on the list. But what about like starter source? Like, do you have anything that you take with you?
Especially being in the Northwest and me camping year round. When I was just out last weekend, I used a little can of Sterno. Basically, it's like a gel.
Uh-huh.
So you can open it and reopen it, and you can just take a stick or a little piece of kindling or whatever you're using, and just scoop some of that out and put it in the middle, and then all you need is one little light on that, and it goes for a good whatever.
Yeah, it's basically gel alcohol, right?
Correct. Right.
So where this would have come off the rails, Jay, is if he would have just pulled out, well, I've got my charcoal lighter fluid here, and it's
right.
throw this in my backpack. Yeah,
right.
That makes sense, because that gel stuff is lighter-ish. It's not super heavy, and it's,
sure.
I don't know what, like 6 ounces usually or something like that.
Yeah, it's a small amount.
Yeah,
it doesn't take a lot.
And you can I can use it over and over. And that works really well. I'd say that's the most sane thing to do, like you're talking about. I mean, white gas will really, really light your fire.
That's also Coleman fuel is what they refer to as white gas,
right?
Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah. And so like if you were using a stove, And I have done it before when it's really, really sleeting and nasty and I really want a fire. Then what you have to do is you got to pour that on there, step away, light a match and throw it. But again, not really, not the safest thing to do.
Hold my beer.
Part of a 10 essentials list is safety. I was going to mention that
okay.
too. That's really what I talk so flippantly about, like, go out in the woods, go out by yourself. It's awesome. But some safety mentions I was actually going to bring up. So.
We call that thinning the herd. Sorry.
So, I read this and I could be wrong. I mean, this may not be popular amongst campers, but, or backpackers or through hikers, but if you don't have those types of essentials on you, and you run across, say, some deer droppings or moose droppings and stuff, could you, if they were dry, could you burn something like that to get the fire started, couldn't you?
I would say probably, never tried, but yeah, I mean, that's a historic thing that people did for ages.
May not recommend flavoring your steak with that, but
keep watching our YouTube channel where we're gonna have our separate video of Jay trying to light
deer dung.
Animal excrement. Yeah. Okay.
Deer
that's
dung.
Good content, right?
Good, yeah, good absolutely, man. Yeah. Hey, you
can
gotta
do it
survive.
In an Australian
man, right?
voice.
I ain't burning my underwear, man.
all right, what's next?
Let's see. I'm gonna say this is gonna sound funny. No, that doesn't work. Okay, again. Shelter. Shelter is, unfortunately, I included sleeping bag in my shelter, so that would be really bad. But again, this is from a thru-hiker perspective. They've been dropping it down so much farther and farther. They use like a quilt, and you know, some of them no tent, or they'll have like just a tarp or something like
yeah.
that. So. When I say shelter, I mean a tent and I mean a sleeping bag and a sleeping pad. I just turned 50 and there's no way I'm sleeping without a sleeping pad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'd have to be so exhausted and just annihilated.
Welcome to the 50 club, my friend, because no matter how healthy you are and physically good in shape you are, there's something about turning 50. It's like an odometer.
Mm-hmm.
Things just kind of start falling off.
Well, and
that's what I found, and your muscles and your bones just start aching. So,
and you have the added bonus of just not just for comfort, but you're off the ground. Like
exactly.
you're literally off the ground in case there's your tent springs a leak or you know you get a trail
right?
of ants yeah. or fire ants or whatever. Yeah,
there are lightweight cot racks too, though, right?
Yeah,
that you could put your strap with. Which for me, if I'm going camping, man, I don't know that I would want to sleep on the ground per se.
We can hook you up there.
But if
yeah,
I
you,
but if I had like a you know like a rack to where I could just be off the ground, that would be perfect for me because I think that's where a lot of the I get cold, man, real easy.
It's important in these camping treks to pick a new guy. He's often labeled as the mule.
Oh, man, yeah. We're gonna trust me, we will video the entire...
The mule carries all the cool stuff that nobody else wants to carry in their backpack.
Hey, man, I've lived my life that way. It's totally cool.
Keith, honestly, on a side note, I wish you were here because the smell of whatever they're cooking back there in the kitchen, it's killing me, man.
It's bacon in the oven time.
Yeah, oh, it all smells
right.
great.
Shelter, what's next?
All right, I'll say multi-tool, which includes pocket knife, that kind of thing. And putting shelter before that might have been a mistake, but...
Well, there isn't this isn't a, you know, okay, if you're on a desert island and you can only have three things. Okay, now only two things.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got to have most of these for any basic trek, right?
I would, again, yes, to be safe, you know? That's really a lot of...
And not, it doesn't have to be stuff. In a certain order, so it's all good.
Okay, cool.
It's good.
Then I guess, so when I say multi-tool, yeah, I just wanted to say I want to thank Joe and Bill for my knife. That's I have a sheepdog. Oh, whoops, I've been using that.
Ooh.
It's a little dirty. It's a $200 box cutter also.
Bill may appear in some of our videos down the road, man. He he camps quite regularly with this gentleman. He's a firefighter, good friend of ours. Good friend of him. I've only known
great
him
guy.
For a short while, but great guy. And I told him I was wanting to tag along, and he was like, oh, I'm going to break you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he caught me. We were having steak out at a camp where we were, and it was it wasn't in the summertime. It was fairly chilly, and I'm gonna say it was in the fall last year. And I have a fanny pack that has a lot of this stuff in it, and it's kind of like what I always have with me if I'm going out on a day hike. It's a big fanny pack, you know. Yeah. It even has a shoulder strap if it gets too heavy. But I forgot my pocket knife. I was using a buck knife at the time, like just a regular, like not fancy deploying buck knife. It was just a regular old buck knife. But I didn't bring it. I forgot it. But in my fanny pack, I had my little one. It's like a little, you know, whatever. It was like a 3-inch blade maybe. And I get it out to start cutting the steak. And Bill goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm cutting my steak, man." He goes, "With that?" Yeah, it's fine. And it is fine. It's totally fine. But then my birthday was coming up after that. So he and Joe got me the fancy knife.
Yeah, the indignity,
So was it one of those, "That's not a knife"?
Yeah,
right. This is a knife.
That's really
it, right? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, it gets and then you get into the whole serrated versus straight edge conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, schools of, you know.
Uh-huh.
I would think, though, I mean, look, if you're just getting into this, have something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And a multi-tool really does come in handy, whether it has pliers on it, sometimes has a screwdriver heads on it. Man, it's amazing when, like, you'll go like, "How am I going to fix this?" You know,
screws back out of a tent hole or
anything. I may have to have some guidance on my multi-tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I would probably want a corkscrew on there
bottles of wine. I mean,
there's ways around that too, but
Oh, really? See,
push that sucker right in.
Yeah.
I can't wait. See, here you go, man. We're talking rough.
I mean, I would put it in a bladder before I left to just not have to carry the glass out there with me, but, you know, whatever. Because you just drink it
the wine,
the
No, oh, you're right, Keith. Yeah, and you know, not to get too much into the bar industry too, but box wines come a long way. You know, get one already in a bladder is pretty nice.
Yeah, there you go. That's the most valuable tip of the day right there. All right. Let's see. Okay. We're up to number, depending on which way you're counting this, this would either be number 6 or number 4.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll say sun protection. You can see I'm a little sensitive to the sun. I got to have my glasses on.
Oh, sorry. This is number 5 right in the middle. Yeah, my bad. Yeah sunscreen. Figures,
it figures I'd put him in line with the tanning bed.
Actually is often overlooked, and people don't realize, like, well, just because you're not at the beach doesn't mean you're not still out in the sun all day.
Oh, man.
Why do you think those guys working the highway crews have the, like, full head cover and the long sleeves? And they're up in the mountains working, but they're still covered, right?
And it doesn't stop with just the lotions, because people are sensitive on the lips. So, I mean, you know, you got, you know, lip balm or whatever to help protect your lips and those sorts of things. So I would carry that anyway.
Exactly. And that crosses over into another category of first aid, but you know, having that like you say, lip protection. If it's summertime, and man, I better have a big brimmed hat, and I better have sunglasses and some sunscreen cream to put on me, and maybe some cortisone for my lips or something like that.
On that note, when you are out hiking and backpacking and camping in the summertime, do you most of the time wear long sleeve shirts and pants, or do you prefer having like a great pair of cargo shorts or whatever, backpacking shorts and short sleeves, or how does that work for you?
I actually really like zip off pants. Like you got the option mid trail to change your mind, because sometimes you go through really brushy or nettly or stuff like that would just scrape you up and really beat you up, and then it's nice to have pants for that. But man, when it's hot, I want shorts on. I definitely don't want pants on. And most of those zip-off ones too are really good synthetic, and that's what you want too. You want it to be able to dry, and you want it kind of light.
Yeah, because you want to, like, if there's you come upon like a stream or a river and you're just super hot,
you're
not going to turn a good cool off away, man. You're going to get in, you know.
Yeah, I'm not one of those glacial dunking people, like I met a few of those, and I just go like, what are you doing?
So the long sleeve, I'll say that actually, you know, we were talking about how technology hasn't really come that far year over year, but over the past couple of years, like, the shirts and the long sleeve stuff, that's now all this, like, moisture, we're basically going back to what your dad wore in the 70s, but it's got a lot of, like, polyester and stuff in it. But it's come a long way. Like, I've got a lot of stuff that I'll wear out in the middle of summer when it's 90 degrees out and it's long sleeve, but it's, you know, so I don't get burned. But yeah, I'm with you on the zip off pant, man. I've got like probably five or six different. Well, and look, that weather can, if you're more than 20 minutes from your car, and the weather can change quickly at higher altitudes, especially, you know, be prepared, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it changes quickly in this area.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can have, there's so many microclimates around here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just incredible to me, like north of us last week, they had a winter storm warning in the Cascades around Mount Baker. And then here we weren't that bad. We had a lot of rain, but that was just an enormous amount of rain.
So yeah, if you're camping in Kansas, maybe a little bit of a different story.
Right. Well, just could dodge the tornadoes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you can weather a big unexpected downpour, I've done a quick temporary shelter because you can just tell it just comes over and you get blasted, and hopefully you can get yourself into a little shelter or under a huge rock sometimes too, you know, then the rest of the trip is fine, and then, you know, maybe you didn't need to bring a full on poncho or something like that.
Right.
Do you bring do you bring any of those like duckback, like a waterproof bag that fits over your backpack? Is that on your list that I just step on something or?
Not at all. I usually take that out of. They usually come in it with a backpack these days, and I usually take them out just for saving weight because I haven't had any issues with that. And my wife just got a new backpack that is a roll up ultralight and is waterproof too. And man, I'm really set to get one of those things too, man. And I can't remember the brand name, but it is cool. And I have dealt with getting gear a little wet by, you know, sacrificing that sometimes. Yeah. But again, it's just something that I never have too much of a problem. You know, even if I'm out for two or three nights, just drying out.
That stuff's pretty good now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've got so, four left.
We got four left, man. So what's the next one?
Four left. Oh yeah, that's right. I alluded to first aid, so I'll take that one next. what's it called? Moleskin for your foot. If you're hiking a long ways, it's really nice to have that. If you're blistering up, because man, once you're blistered up, it makes hiking miserable. And you know, you just the basic things. I mean, I don't really get into my first aid kit very often, and usually I will kind of buy a pre-done, you know, like the pack first aid kit that you can get at anywhere, and then I'll go through it and get rid of the things that I don't need, the thing that's going to cut the gauze, and I don't.
Yeah, because you've got your multi-tool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk. So just two or three things that you need in there, right? So Band-Aids, obviously.
For sure. Band-Aids,
for like an antiseptic ointment kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what? Gauze maybe, or some sort of wrap?
Yeah. Gauze and tape. Actually, tape would be important. In
all right. Too. Okay.
Do you ever pack any like if someone's in severe pain, would you recommend somebody?
Oh yeah, ibuprofen or something basic, and nothing too heavy. My ex-military friends often go a little heavier on some of their first aid. My dad, Joe, they got like trauma kits with all kinds of stuff to stop you from bleeding.
Tourniquets and I've camped with guys like that. I'm like, dude, where are you? Are you in a battle zone somewhere? Like,
I know, yeah. Please don't stitch me up.
This stuff right here should be in the first aid kit.
It's pretty fantastic. Yeah.
You could actually.
It helps calm you down.
Yeah, it calms you down. It takes away any pain. you know, so there you go. Just say it.
All right, that's good. So now we're to our top three. If you want to do a top, we're to our last final three.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I'll go. I'll say navigation. It is important to know where you're going, of course, and I recommend plenty of research. And again, I kind of want to do a little shout out here. This gal, Rachel Lakotic, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's been missing out at Hidden Lake Trail since the 17th of this month.
And, wow.
Now they're doing
it. That's right. I've seen stories on it.
Yeah, she's been all over the news, and my heart goes out to the family and everything. And I don't know what happened. Who knows? Because they haven't found her yet. But that's the type of thing when I talk about navigation and safety and all this sort of thing, man. I personally can't imagine getting lost. I've never been lost, contrary to what you might hear from some other people. I might have been missing to the people that expected me home, but I was never lost. So
this was an overnight hike. I'm just looking at the Newswire here, because I didn't know about this. Hidden Lake Trail in Skagit County, lookout cabin. So she was trying to hike 7 miles to a lookout point. Mm-hmm. Meet up. She was supposed to meet up, but she didn't show up.
We're talking navigation here. So yeah.
So let's clarify that a little bit, because to some people that maybe haven't done this before, they're gonna go, well, I got maps on my phone.
Yeah,
that's good enough,
actually,
right?
That's actually where I'm at. Is I use technology for sure. You know, whether it's like I have a Delorme satellite unit, so I can text anywhere.
Yeah, and I got
that was the that was
that was it was pretty cool. He sends me a text. Hey man, you know, I may not get back to you, but it's awesome.
You can hit the little icon and see where the person's at. Yeah. It's also a, what do you call it? It's a personal location device. So
like a beacon,
right? So it has a little SOS thing you can.
Oh, that's great.
Push, and then wherever you're at. So if you did fall and break your leg, you know, or something like that, and or were incapacitated to some degree, but you could get that thing, you know, on and hit the SOS button.
Yeah.
At least people are going to know where you're at. And so that's, I mean, that is a real key, especially for anybody going out that far. And you might think to yourself, 7 miles, no big deal. I run 7 miles all the time. I don't, but you know, some people do. It's
terrain.
When you're throwing rocks and boulders and elevation changes and narrow passages, and really
that's
the
exactly
elevation
right.
changes are what get you the most. It's, you know, yeah, that 7 miles is not you know, an hour run. It's a day hike.
So back to the navigation. As far as like what I prefer is, I do have a couple different apps, and so active maps, and that means also I need to have a charger. I have a charger case for my phone, so I got a full charge there, and I usually carry like an external one as well to keep that charged, especially if I'm doing a bunch of either video or taking pictures,
right.
And I want to keep my navigation going as well. I need to make sure I have enough batteries, and I also use a Goal Zero.
I'm a fan of their I'm a fan of that company as much as I am a fan of their products.
Yeah, they are awesome. So yeah, folding solar panel, and what you pay for in weight. For your gears.
I've taken those things to events with friends, like racetrack stuff, and we'll literally just pass it down, and everybody's charging their phone off the little solar. Mm-hmm.
As we're talking about some of these things, I would like to remind everybody, our listeners, that we will put some of these items on our mentioned on the podcast. You can go to our affiliate link of Amazon. And you can purchase them, and just remember that by you doing that, purchasing it through our website, through the Amazon website, it helps us out a little bit. We don't know what you're buying, but
that's right.
We give you the opportunity to purchase.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you any more, but it'll throw us a few nickels.
And might I ask? You said battery pack too for charging, like a little. Recharger,
right? Just a little.
That wouldn't happen to be like a lithium ion type battery, would it?
Oh, it probably is.
I don't know. Imagine that, Keith. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Lithium ion.
Hmm. Yeah. We're going into. They're using them in electric vehicles, and there's. Yeah, it's a whole other. Yeah. That's a whole
it's
other.
A whole other can of worms.
I must have missed that one.
It hasn't aired yet.
Oh, it hasn't. Okay.
Yeah. It will have by the time you see this.
And I'm gonna go Compass. Whether it's Compass app on your phone, which is fine, or if you got to get one of those like waterproof match containers that has a compass on the bottom or whatever. But
sure.
If I'm you know, looking at this trail map before I leave, and I know that it pretty much runs, you know, southwest to northeast, and I get turned around. Well, if I just basically start heading back in the, you know, northeast direction, generally speaking, I'm going to be better off. You know, I mean, yeah, you could do the whole where's the sun and all that, but if, you know, can't, the sun's not out or whatever, just compass is not a bad idea. Phone compass,
a compass
is fine.
Is great, and actually having a map of where you're going is great too. But yeah, I'm just saying I rely a lot on the technology. But that's the whole thing too. Is if you're new, like, do the sure thing. Go ahead and have a map of the area you're going to, and keep it, and know how to use it with a compass.
Go to Google Maps and just print it out on your computer. I mean, it's not even like you got to buy, you know, a printed map.
You know, one of the things that I've always seen on some of these situations where people have gotten lost is that they fail to tell somebody what they were doing or where they were going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I always thought that as simple as that may sound, it's so important, because if you're due back at a certain time and you're not, then that alerts people that, you know, he's still out there or she's still out there, and we should probably start looking.
Right, freaks people out.
Yeah, you don't want to freak
Here's
out
where I'm going, ones. And I'll, you know, within a few hours, here's when I expect to be there. Yeah, there's, look, man, we don't need more Batmans. You're not out, like, on a secret mission to, you know, tell people where you're going. All right, so we've got, I think we're down to three?
Two? No, I think we got, is it two more?
Yeah. No, three. We got three
is
more.
Is it three? Okay.
I'm really bad at this math thing, but I can find my way in the woods.
Right. I guess next one, I say flashlight, which means headlamp to me. I don't need to hold anything in my hand. That's just hindering. So there's so many great headlamps out there, or even clip-on, if you want to clip it on your hat or something. But it's, especially this time of year, in this area, if you are out there without a flashlight, it is terrifying, because you can't even see where you're taking your next step. Just getting out of the tent without a light.
And I love that, because it means, you know, a lot of times you got amazing views of the night sky. But yeah, you're
for sure.
You know, we'll talk about that in a later podcast, about one of the things that really intrigued me about Rothmeyer is him getting out. He likes to get out and be isolated.
Yeah. And it's healthy, man.
We had that conversation and said, I don't know that I could do anything like this by myself, because I just like being around people. I'm pretty social.
I do that for a living, though.
Right. Yeah. I know. So I mean, we all have our little thing, you know, our things where we like to escape. But, you know, for me, escaping is putting on a Led Zeppelin album with my headphones, you know, in another room. So
you would be amazed at the amount of sort of figuring out of things that happens when you're out without.
Oh, he talks about it in the article. Right. And you need to read the article, folks, I'm telling you, because he gets in touch with himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
It's quite a meditation.
All right. Two left, man.
Two left. Let's go.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll go with food and water, because again, we were going to the most important food. If you go out with less than a liter of water and you're hiking, that's not a good idea. And you probably better have a water filter as well. I know people that don't use water filters, and they have never had Giardia before, but I have had Giardia and it sucks. So
you won't die, but you'll wish you would. Is basically
wish you would die, but it's terrible.
I've had it, and there was a lot of what I call bargaining with God during those moments. Yeah. Now they've got a lot of stuff now, and I may find something and just throw it out there on the website, but. It doubles as you don't want to carry a whole lot of extra stuff, but if you're going to have a container that holds water, and they make these ones now that have the filter kind of built into them. So you start out with a, you know, whatever it is, a liter of water, whatever size. But then if you run out, you can take it to a stream and the filter will purify the water to the point that it's drinkable. But you don't have to carry a separate filter.
Right.
That is a kind of a cool technological advancement over the past.
Lots of cool things like that. If you want to go real light, even a straw, you can.
Yeah, they make those.
Straw
yeah.
into the or yeah. They've got,
I've given those to friends as birthday presents with the condition of, if you ever use this, I have to see a picture. Like, I need to see a picture of you down in that stream with that straw.
Just a couple push-ups, man. Just a couple push-ups.
All right, here. Let me give you. This is our last one. Is that right? Is that right?
It is. I didn't go into food, but that's okay.
You want to go into food a little bit? Let's talk about that.
Because food and water was one thing. But I mean, I'm going to do freeze dried. I don't know if you've ever done it, but man, a nice pack of Chili Mac after you've hiked 5 miles is just delicious.
You can get that stuff everywhere now. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Walmart. You can get it at REI.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what you can't find at those places?
Camping juice.
He shared a picture. He had a post, man. He had some great. What kind of mushrooms were those?
Oh, the most recent ones?
Yeah.
They're bear's head.
And big, huge clusters.
Oh, well, yeah. One of them, it was like 6 or 7 pounds, man. It's huge. Wow. And I ate it last night. Chicken marsala with
mushrooms.
See, man. I mean, there's so many things out in nature that you could have a feast out there. You guys do.
The mushrooms are really, I would say, in the last 5 years, the best thing that I've added to kind of like my outdoor experience. And what I just get excited about is, man, I love the mushrooms these days. It's so fun.
You get morels and mm-hmm. yeah. all that. And those are seasonal, though. They have certain times of year. And,
so, yeah, around May.
Well, most of them do, though, right? I mean, most mushrooms are seasonal.
That's right. Yeah, they have a specific time they come out. And the bear's head happens to come out in this, like, once it starts getting cold like it has, it's later in the fall. It's kind of a honeymoon mushroom because when my wife and I went on our honeymoon, we went right to the same log that I got these mushrooms off. So I kind of call it the honeymoon mushroom because that's where we found it the first time.
That's awesome. Well, what I think we ought to do is in a future podcast is let's talk about how to find, you know, mushrooms that are not poisonous to you.
That's a long podcast.
Right. Okay. And I mean, I think it's worthy because, people get hungry out there. They don't have any food on them. There's so much right in front of you that you can eat.
There's a place to start with that for sure. But I'm certainly not an expert, but there are some safe kind of sure things that we could go into. We might need to do some visuals.
I bet you right now $1 million or another one of these. That there's a book out there on Amazon that tells you what you can.
David Arora is the key person on that.
Okay, so there you go. We should maybe list that on the podcast.
I'm on it. All right. So now you know what that means, right?
Yeah, we're down.
Last one.
How fast can I type?
I mentioned.
Oh, sorry.
Before I get off of food totally, I wanted to mention bonking because I think that's part of the safety thing. Bonking, you guys know.
Wait a minute. Nah. My parents said none of that when you go take your.
Not that kind of bonking.
I don't. Man. I'm not familiar with this term. Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know
either. So I think it's something that comes from runners and or athletes that if you run out of fuel, you run out of calories, you bonk, and your body just goes, nope, we're not doing this. And when you get stuck out there without food. That I have bonked before, not realized that it was going on, and I'm like, oh man, all I need to do is put some calories in me. So that is an important safety thing to realize, especially if you say you're gonna do 4,000 feet of elevation in 6 miles or something, and then you're realizing like, why are my legs failing me, and I feel disoriented, and maybe you do fall or whatever. So like, don't do that. You have to eat. Please eat.
That is a whole podcast. We will talk about that.
Food has gotten light and, the freeze-dried stuff.
There's no reason. Yeah. There's no reason to go hungry.
Oh, I ate a lot of MREs in my life.
Protein. It's not like it's gotten a lot better in taste, but it's, it doesn't take up much space now. And,
I like the freeze-dried fruit.
Yeah.
Totally.
Freeze-dried fruit is great.
Okay. Yeah, that's
so I'll keep moving on. I know we're going long, huh? So
right here.
The last one I have is clothing. So I've never encountered a naked hiker, but I don't want to.
Oh no!
I got it.
Oh, they're out there.
I know they're out there.
I got
they're
it. Out there. I got him a drum roll. So you guys probably can't hear it on your end. So, you got to go into this clothing thing a little bit. So what are we? We talked a little bit about that earlier from the perspective of sun protection, but what do you think of when you say that?
Obviously weather dependent. I'm going to be very careful about. Making sure if there's even a chance of rain, I'm going to have a rain jacket with a hood and a hat with a bill so that the hood doesn't get down your eyes when you're trying to do anything. If it's hot, I really want to have some light outerwear that I can, feel okay in the shade in.
Right.
And on the other side of that, I mean, obviously in the cold, long underwear is very important, like Jay mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, having that base layer is one of the things that is going to be the make or break on your comfort is that base layer and layering. I love, when you start getting down into the, like we're in the 20s here, when you're out there having some layers, you're going to have to peel them off when you're hiking and you're going to want to put them right back on when you take a break and start, the sweat comes in and freezes on you or whatever. Not quite freezes on you, but, gets cold. So
And I guess a good thing to mention too is that heavy doesn't always mean good layering either, does it? I mean, the lighter the layers is better because you kind of peel away and...
Again, synthetics are the way to go. You got to watch those around the fire, of course, because one little spark will put a hole in your polar fleece. And I've ruined my dad's gear that way. He loves it. but you know, down obviously is just, it's the best for warmth and the lightest. And although it's worthless if it gets wet, so you got to make sure that the the shell of it is waterproof or you know, Gore-Tex type, something like that. I know there's a bunch of different products like that, but I always have to make sure I have in the cold weather I have a thinner, light kind of like warm jacket that's like a down layer or even a synthetic type of whatever, thermalite or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have a big puffy down jacket that is waterproof on the outside that it just saves my bacon every time.
So, so basically if I'm showing up on my first, camping trip, I'm going to use the finger quotes again, tent camping, or some sort of like non fixed shelter. And I have this notion that I'm just going to like basically check the weather forecast and dress for 2 p.m. temperatures, that's probably not the best plan. I should have
highs and lows.
I should be mindful that the weather, I should count on the fact that the weather will change on me while I'm out there.
Yeah, 100%. All right. The sun goes down and the wind picks up, and then you're looking at wind chills too, and that can get ugly as well.
Yeah, and you know, paying attention to that forecast, man. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely. And again, because in certain areas like where we live right now, you have to be very cognizant of where you're going because of the microclimates that happen around here. I mean, we're so close to the ocean, and we're like so close to the mountains. I mean, weather changes. I mean, I don't know. I've not lived here all my life, and I know you haven't either, but you've lived a lot of your life here.
Most of it.
I mean, they've experienced several tornadoes here just recently.
I haven't seen one, but
That I thought, I mean, moving out of Tennessee and moving out here, I'd never see another tornado. But, you know, here we've had, you know, several that have caused damage, but I think it's important
to
pay
attention to the forecast. And there's certain areas that are known where y'all are.
Y'all?
I'll just go ahead and say it, that are known to kind of create their own weather, right? Like if you go, there are certain areas of, or certain
conversion
ranges.
Zones.
Whatever you're feeling right now, when you get there, which is 20, 30 miles away, it's going to be, you know, completely different.
Yeah,
that's your microclimate situation.
Absolutely. I mean, right where we're at, we're actually in the shadow of the Olympics. So the rain shadow is what they call it, right? Mm-hmm. So here it may be pouring rain over on the peninsula, Port Angeles and Squim.
Mount Vernon. We're in the banana belt.
Yeah. So it's like this big hole of where there's no rain occurring because of the shadow.
That's your next podcast is all these
local
aphorisms for locations and Wow.
So, but there you go.
All right. So Jay, are you, would you mind doing the honors of sort of telling everybody, the usual, who, what,
absolutely,
when, where, how, why?
Guys, guys, look, we are doing this because we love it, but we need your support. So if you'll head on over to YouTube and follow us there at Parts Counter Gurus, if you'll click on that subscribe button, click on the bell, give us a thumbs up. Remember, the subscription is free to you, but it's priceless to us. You can check us out on www.PartsCounterGuru.com. You can check us out on any of these podcast platforms such as Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. We've got Apple Podcasts. We've got Google Podcasts. We have you covered, my friends. We are there to help you out. Just if you have questions about what we talked about today or any automotive question, you can reach out to us on Ask Us a Question. We have a tab there. Just keep checking our website out for events that are coming around. We're going to be headed off to SEMA. I think by the time this airs, we will probably be there.
Check the check the website for live event notifications, partscounterguru.com. Oh,
it's going to be so fun.
Page. Yeah.
Watch our Facebook page for Facebook Live events going on. We're going to be hopefully talking to some interesting people there. Which Rothmeyer, I wish you were going to be with us because SEMA has an Overland section.
We're lot pretty of excited about that. Yeah,
we're pretty pumped, and we're going to try to do a little live segment from there and a few other vendors that will be around that we're looking to talk to. But just check us out on partscounterguru.com, man. You'll find everything that I just mentioned there. And don't forget that you can buy anything that we talked about today through our Amazon tab up there on the right-hand side of the page, or click through to mention on the podcast for specific items and just buy.
Have you been practicing this? Because it's like,
no.
When you've done it, like, I don't know, 35, 36 times or something.
35 times to be exact.
Yeah. It doesn't cost you any more to you're shopping on Amazon, right?
No,
it's an affiliate.
Absolutely. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
But if you're gonna buy that massage oil flavored like tangerines, then you might as well, you know, buy it through our link. It's the same price.
I prefer trail mix flavored massage oil.
Well, to each their own, buddy.
Nice.
All right. Are we good, guys? Everybody good on that?
Oh, yeah.
We're good.
Thanks
for
having me.
So let's see here. I've prepared a little joke, but before I close out with that, thanks to Rothmeyer over there for showing up to this one, and Jay also over there. I am Keith. This is a bad one. I apologize in advance, but did you guys know you cannot run through a campsite? You can only ran. Did you guys know this?
I did not.
Did
know
you,
that.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's past tense.
Oh.
All right, I told you it was
okay,
be
guys.
All right,
see
you next time. Thanks, everybody.
See you next time, guys. Right. Take care.
Hang on. That was an awful clap. Let me try that again. I can do better.
You got the clap?